All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Ryan Whitney, and you're watching the Nasty Knuckles Pod.
You're listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws Podcast, with your host, Terry Nasty Suttermeyer, and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer, Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back. What's happening, Nasty?
What's up, Regalia?
How you doing?
Oh, great. You?
Pretty solid.
Missed you Sunday night again. Yeah.
It's a late one.
It was not a late one. It was at fucking 6 o'clock at night.
Well, you know, I'm winding down for the evening.
You better start winding up. You got to come to games because teams are complaining.
Of what?
Well, you show up in the playoffs. I'm like, hey, he pays his money. He's on the roster.
Teams are complaining.
They actually were. Some people.
I don't believe it.
I swear I'm not kidding. Rob told me.
There's only four teams in the league.
There's
only four teams in the league.
What?
No?
Bro, it's the biggest league going now. Everybody added people.
Did it expand?
All expanded.
Couple expansion teams?
A couple expansion teams moved up.
Oh, well, I'll be back.
I finally scored the other night, thank God. Jesus.
Ripper?
I couldn't. No. It was just a sick play by someone else. I think, I don't know if Ronnie passed it to me or Foxy, but anyway, I had an empty net, and I made sure I put it in the net and not over the glass into that net like I did the week before, which was very embarrassing. But anyway,
it happens.
What's going on with you?
It's getting primed up for this weekend.
Yes, can't wait. Fans of Philly, we're heading to Boston, baby.
Ooh.
Big birthday weekend. You and I.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we're getting after it.
Better believe it.
You're not.
10:30. 10:30 in bed.
If you try to go to bed at 10:30, I will bang on your door the whole night.
I told Joe that.
You didn't.
Can't tell Nasty what room I'm in.
Yeah, I'll know.
Oh.
I got the itinerary.
You got the room list?
I got the rooming list.
The manifest?
They let me do it. Yeah, can't wait, man. Fans of Philly.
It's going to be a good time.
It's going to be awesome. It's like we're just with everyone. We get to do it again.
Yeah, why soon. Not? Indoors.
Indoors this time. It will not be as cold. I can guarantee you that.
I'm pumped.
Can't wait, though. Seriously. Best fans of Philly, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Flyboys, since we last were together, hadn't really lit it up. 2-2-1. I kind of blame you.
Yeah.
But, the last game against Tampa there, it was a bit of a shit show. 7-0. Wheels fell off a little bit there, but
things got a little heated.
A little heated. Torts didn't want to leave.
He's flexing
the bench. Yeah, he flexed for a few minutes with his cast on too.
Oh yeah, and thumb up and sideways.
But like Baller was saying, the Rebels, we had the game, so I didn't get to watch all the game. I saw some highlights, but Baller was filling me in on the refs weren't the greatest that night, and on top of their game, and Torts had enough. So,
is that a record getting tossed 10 minutes into the game, you think?
I could be, actually. I mean,
it's pretty impressive.
That's pretty quick. That's pretty quick.
Well, I guess you're down for a Cobb at 10 minutes in. Like,
well, I did see
emotions
yeah,
really high.
I remember I was on the bench. I remember just checking the score to see, yeah, you know, how it was going, and I saw it. I'm
ooh,
like, oh,
that's a tough one.
That might be the Phillies playing baseball down there first 10 minutes. But, yeah, they like I said, they had started the week off, for the week, is about a week and a half ago now, but they lost to the Caps down in Washington. And then they had a win against the Senators at home. Finally, we beat Captain Claude, who used to be the captain, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Lost to the Blues in a shootout. I was actually at that game. Got to see Hazy and Schenner.
Yeah, I saw the pic with Elvy.
Yeah, Elvy had to get a picture. I let him stay up late that night. The next
paid
morning,
for
it was
it
tough
next morning,
getting
I'm
him
sure.
up. But, yeah, saw Steve Ott as well. Talked to him for a few minutes. He said he'd jump on this summer.
Oh, cool. We got to grab him, yeah.
Yeah, I said, don't worry. I said, Baller put up a little thing of you with, of his son. I said, I think he might be. He goes, no, I heard your son's fucked up too, Chief told me.
Oh, yeah.
I said, well, you're right about that. I told him, we always talk about the clip of him and G kind of talking.
Oh, yeah, after face off.
G just, you taking this face off? Top five, But he was laughing, but he said he would jump on with us. But it was good. It was a pretty good game. Joe Watson, got to talk to him. He was at the game. Bob the Hound Kelly, saw Billy Barber, Brian Propp. Signed a thing and gave me a guffaw.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Give you a little coin, too?
No, he didn't give me the coin. I thought you were trying to get me. But anyway, then they go down to Florida. Big win in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best teams in hockey, obviously, and find a way to win that game 2-1. And late goal by Hathaway, just grinding to work and stop yawning. Wake him up all the way.
Just get a little oxygen.
Get a little oxygen. Then, like we were just talking about the Tampa game, wheels fell off a little bit. We had Leonardo DiCaprio saying, I'm not fucking leaving.
Oh, man. I can't tell you how many times I watched that clip of just zooming in on Torts' face. Because I'm thinking,
wires crossed there a bit.
The wires definitely crossed. But you know when you're in denial that it's like, this is not happening? Like, there's no way he's actually kicking me out right now. Yeah. It's like, nah, I'll just hold my ground right now. And you can just see in his eyes, just like slowly but surely.
He was
like,
not
do happy. Do I actually got to leave the bench?
I think I better go.
I better sneak off.
I thought this was a pretty stiff penalty, though.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Obviously, they were trying to send a little messy.
The only thing I don't like about it, we've talked about this before quickly, I feel like the refs have a hard job. Let's not kid ourselves. It's tough. But I also think that they should be held accountable sometimes. Like
when they're god awful.
When they're that bad. And and maybe, they do get shit. We don't see it.
I think they do.
I
think they're critical of their performances from the top there. But yeah. And from a ref's perspective, well, obviously from the losing team's perspective too, like no one wants to be down 4-0. And usually when those games go that way, things get out of hand in one way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Clearly, the Flyers aren't going to be happy with anything at that point. But, a couple weak calls will flip a club upside down. Yeah, any coach.
Especially if it keeps, it's 3-0 or, I'm not saying that was the case in that game, but, 3 pretty bad calls.
Yeah. I just thought that storyline, too, back in T-Bay, 2004 Cup team.
And his team's up there just laughing. Seen this.
Yeah, things haven't changed one bit.
Remember when DZ told us he's really calm now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck. He's dipping not as calm now, but I love it. I do love it. It makes torts, man.
Yeah, you got to appreciate the emotion and the passion, And then you got Dan Hilfert covering his costs.
Yep. I think Coach Chippy
says no. He's like,
we didn't know that much. We didn't think it was going to be that stiff.
That was classic. Oh, I think you can take
good.
This one.
Yeah. That was pretty good. Yeah. But the trade deadline came and passed, and Flyers made a few moves. Danny extended Nick Seeler, and I think we had talked about that, you and I. I really like his game. I like what he brings, and I'm happy to see the guy get some money, too. You know?
Yeah, he earns
great
it, man.
Great deal, four-year deal, 2.7.
He's a Flyer, man.
He is a Flyer.
And he's proven to the fan base he belongs. Yep. It's not like, you know, he's here half a season, and then you're going to have to be forced to extend him. So I think the Flyers and the fans know what you're going to get out of Seal, so lock him up.
And he's a great guy. Yeah. Everybody on the team loves him. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we've talked to all the guys about him. He's a team favorite guy, you know, in the room. And obviously, like you said, he's willing to get his bag run over for the team.
No doubt.
Like, he's got balls, boy, as Torch did say. We got balls.
We got balls.
He's traded Sean Walker. There was a lot of talk about that. But you get, you know, like, you end up getting a first-round pick for him. And that's pretty good. That's really good. To me, Danny did a great job with that one.
Yeah,
you pick up Ryan Johansson, which we don't really know what's going on with him. Picked his salary up for this year, and maybe another baller. Yeah, another, but no one really knows what's going on there. Maybe he's hurt. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna speculate, but
keeping that one quiet, whatever it is.
But to get a first rounder for Wallace,
great. Considering he was essentially a cap dump.
Yeah.
For LA,
yeah, exactly.
Coming to the Philly, so yeah, I think you couldn't lock up that guy. There's no space, right? And you know, he only been here half a season too. So I think it's best case scenario, honestly.
Pretty damn good job by Danny. He goes out and he trades a fourth round pick for Eric Johnson. Oh, EJ had EJ a couple times for the USA. Yeah, veteran guy. Got him from Buffalo, obviously. So. You know, hopefully he's going to help in the room and you know, his play as well. You know, he's won a cup, you know. Yeah. So it's cool to see him come. I can't wait to run into him. I haven't seen him in a couple of years, obviously. But then we traded our buddy Wade Allison.
Things
haven't
really
worked out for him here. So hopefully things go better for him. We got Gurianov, who did play in Tampa. And Wade goes to Nashville.
Yeah. He needs a fresh start.
Yep. And hopefully he gets a call up. I know Baller said he played down the other night, but we love Wade. Great kid.
Yeah.
So wish him the best.
Absolutely. Stay healthy.
Stay healthy, man.
Back up in no time.
Yep. Some of the bigger, a lot of action the other day, but some of the bigger trade, probably one of the biggest is Hanifin goes to Vegas along with Thomas Hertl.
Not how they
doing
pickups.
This? How they doing this, Baller? They're cheating. But, you know, they say if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
That's
They're
right.
not cheating, but just, again, here we go. Like, they go for it, man. And, you know, they got some guys on IR, obviously, so they're able to fit them in. But, wow.
Creative.
Wow, creative. Hey, Riggs. Oh, my arm. I'm broke, Mom. You're going to sit for a couple weeks. Don't worry about it. So we can get a couple players in.
You got to get creative with those injuries.
I wonder, you know, like... our guest today, he had a lot to say about it. The other day, he was kind of laughing. He had a post. He posted something about, like, this is crazy, but it's the league. You can't blame Vegas. They're playing within the rules because it's allowed. So they'll be tough.
Yeah.
They'll be tough again.
Yeah, not bad additions.
Not bad at all. And Carolina ends up getting Gensel. From Jake Gensel from the Penguins, and it seemed like a lot of guys weren't very happy about that, but Carolina trying to make their squad better. I mean, this East it's going to be tough either way, you know, like, but they make that move. I don't think Sid was real happy about it, and the Penguins had a tough game the next day. They got smoked, and whatever, it is what it is, but the Pens aren't going to make the playoffs anyway.
It's you don't think
kind
so?
Of a, I don't. No, I don't.
They don't got a if, last don't, second push?
I don't think they got a push in them. I really don't.
Steam left?
I don't think they have one.
I don't think so either.
Our good buddy Pat Maroon gets moved to Boston with our other buddy Jimmy Montgomery, so that's pretty cool.
I think
cool.
It's a great pickup.
Yeah, it is,
I like
man.
That.
Like, dude, I have a feeling they have a great room anyway with Marchand and Pasta. He's so damn funny. But you bring the big rig in there, and he's a winner. We know that.
He's a winner, yeah. And then, obviously, Luch not coming back this year. So, I mean, bringing a big bod there for the stretch. I think he fits in perfectly. So,
yeah.
I think it's a great move.
I think it's a good move, too. Mm-hmm. Our good friend JVR, James Van Riemsdyk, congrats, brother, 1,000th game last week. Wanted to say that. just a pro.
Yeah.
Pro, takes care of himself, does the right things. Love that guy.
Yeah.
Happy to see him doing well, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, it's a lot of games.
Yeah.
You got to be doing something right.
Yeah. Well, when he left here the first time, he had a year left.
Yeah, I know, right? Can't play in the league.
What we were told, yeah.
Trying to turn him into some sort of beastly power forward of some sort.
Well, that and his hips.
Oh, yeah.
You hip, remember that thing. He won't be here. But anyway, yeah. He's either here or there because he's played a foul.
Yeah, right. Impressive. Congrats.
Had a little bit of cake, too, along the way. Oh, Ring Daddy.
No doubt.
Your boy, we talked about last week. We were hoping that Rimpe was going to get a little Tilly Saturday Night Fights with Ryan Reeves, and it happened.
Hockey Night in Canada.
Yeah, Hockey Night in Canada. You had talked about him with his. I'd asked you last time about his length and all that stuff. You being a tough guy fighter. How do you think he did in that?
I think he did really well, and that was the first time we talked about, as you just mentioned, going into it. He hadn't really used his reach at all. He was fighting square and taking more punches than he should have.
Yeah.
I thought he did a good job of, at least the start of the fight, getting that reach and stringing Reeves out and pushing him back. Eventually I think his arm, started caving in a little bit and Reeves got a few shots in. But, I mean, showing up
in
Toronto Saturday night after how many fights he had leading up to that, I mean, hell of a job. And, again, going to New Jersey yesterday, he's playing in Jersey, and McDermott's, knocking on his door. And I think Labby obviously told him not to.
Yeah, I would think so. I also wonder, too, I was going to ask you another thing about that. I think McDermott was going after him for the Bastion hit a few weeks ago. So they're in New York last night, and he tries to get him to go. I have a feeling Labby told him, don't worry about it. But then the hit, which I think he's going to get some
discipline because
he gets the chicken wing up. He's big enough as it is. And he did. If he just goes in with his shoulder, maybe not because he's so tall, but either way, then I think he should probably answer the bell there, but whatever, he didn't.
Yeah.
But what I was going to ask you is, do you think maybe, I don't know, he's only played how many games, 8, 9 games, I'm not sure exactly what it is, but after those fights with D'Lo and Olivier and Reeves and that, you think maybe a little bit now his naps aren't as easy to take because he's kind of put himself there. He's been fighting everyone.
Yeah.
So I just wonder if, I'm sure, I would think Labby told him, hey, don't worry about it, just play. But do you think that's starting to sneak into his head a little bit? Oh, Jesus. I'm doing a good job. I'm doing this, but it's not as easy,
Well, yeah, no, I mean, for
obviously
sure.
Obviously, it's the toughest job to have in the show.
Yeah, those first hockey. 4, 5, 6 games, pure adrenaline, right? You fight and you get out there and you're doing anything you can to hang on. And then it's like another game comes around.
And
another tough guy, right?
Man.
I mean, legitimate. It's like, because I was thinking, for sure, Labby told him not to. He had to have.
Right.
But also, it's like, I'm thinking, it's okay to rest.
Yeah.
Too. You've been very active.
Very.
Your first 10 games in the NHL, whatever, 6 fights and, legitimate tough guys. But that being said, there was an altercation. He obviously got, he ran Bastion over the game before. So, but there was no suspension or nothing on it.
He gets kicked out of the game and it was a clean hit, which is crazy.
Yeah.
He hit him too hard.
Just hit him too hard. So obviously they were trying to get revenge on it. Labby had to have said something to him, but nonetheless, the game goes on, and again, chicken wing, which it looked like maybe the guy pulled up a little bit, but nonetheless, either way, he put the wing out there. He was going to get some games. I think at that point,
now
you kind of got to, but at that point too, the refs are in there and it's
it's pretty hard to
get out of the game and deal with it next game.
They play again, but Baller had a, threw a stat at us. He's got 54 PIMs, and his total ice time is 56 minutes. So he spent as much time in the box as he has on ice, but he hasn't played bad at all.
He's
been out there.
He's doing something last night.
Yeah, for a goal, and he's a big man.
He's keeping guys, to say honest. I mean, at the very least, he's keeping guys just Yeah, well, I say honest. I mean, like, you know where this guy's at because he's running you.
Yeah.
He's on the ice.
Yeah, he's going to hit
you.
You're
going to keep your head on a swivel for sure, and you know, or not. And get the wingy poo. He's got the wingspan.
Yeah,
get
the old wingsy. Yeah.
But, I mean, he can skate.
Yeah.
I think he's improving every game, and the fact that Lavi's playing him is, you know, a testament to clearly he's doing something right. So
definitely, probably giving him some confidence too.
Yeah,
getting some. He's not getting a ton of ice time, but he's also in the box a lot as well.
Yeah.
But anyway, I want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah.
And it might be time.
It's that time now.
It's that time.
I'm ready.
I'm ready to.
Is this 150?
150?
Can you believe
Debo?
It?
150?
It's crazy.
It's crazy. One word, Debo.
Oh, yeah. Their boy, Ryan Whitney.
Yes. Winner.
The beauty.
My man.
Let's go. This episode is brought to you by Garage Beer. Check out their beer-flavored beer. Welcome back. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Suttomer. And this week, we are absolutely honored to have this young man with us. A former fifth overall pick by the Pittsburgh Penguins back in 2002. Co-host of probably the number one hockey podcast in the world, Spittin' Chicklets. Veteran of 481 NHL hockey games. The genius behind putting pink lemonade into vodka and turning it into an unbelievable business. Yes, Pink Whitney. Everyone drinks it everywhere I go. Reminds me of it. And also a silver medalist at the 2010 Winter Olympics. My buddy, your friend, Mr. Ryan Whitney. Winner, what's up, brother?
What's going on, boys? Nasty, I don't know. You might be hanging out at some young places if everywhere you go, people are crushing the pink wit.
Well, bro, I'm just trying to feel young, man. You know what I'm saying? I have it in my bar, too.
This year, yeah.
I have it in my bar, too. I'm not going to lie. You're my boy. Hey, I love it. It's awesome.
No, boys, thanks for having me on. Big fan. I appreciate it. Long overdue. So I'm looking forward to it here. Nasty Knuckles, my representation in Philly is now complete.
Yes.
Yeah, we appreciate your time. We know you're busy. What's going on, man, besides, you know, your third child coming here soon?
Yep. A little bit, like a month and a half, maybe 7 weeks away from that. So as Coates already said to me, you know, no more man-to-man coverage. So I'm in one. So it'll be 6-3 and a newborn. But, I mean, that's a lot. I know a lot of buddies who've had like 4-2 and a newborn, right? So at least I got the older guy. He's pretty much on his own and can handle himself. And then the middle guy, or will be the middle guy, Wyatt, he's a nut. So number three, we don't know. We don't know. Another boy, and then the madness continues, or a girl, and the whole household changes. So I'm excited. I mean, it's interesting because she told me, yeah, I'm pregnant. I was like, oh, when's the due date? She's like, May 8th. I was like, holy shit. That's like the end of the first round when we were just rocking through playoff hockey every night.
Yeah.
I was like, we need a night nurse, babe. We need a night nurse. So we'll see how that goes.
Wow. Congrats. That's awesome,
man. Yeah. Thank you, brother. Unbelievable.
No, but other than that, not much, man. We're just, you know, doing the weekly shows. You guys know what that grind's all about. Playoffs is the most exciting time for all of us. You just kind of can't wait. I said the other day, it's kind of like from January 15th on. Coach, you remember, it's like those are just the dog days, right? Like game 45 to like 65, 70, you're just like, holy shit. Thank God for that 2-week payment we're getting just shoved in our bank account, auto deposit. But it's actually now we're getting to like spring, March is here, or mid-March now, and then the excitement of playoffs. So I can't wait. But I will say it's been an amazing NHL season. Like I feel like every year there's more storylines, more things going viral, and it's just like turned into a little bit more of a soap opera that I think was a ridiculous thought when we played. But now it's like we're in the media and we enjoy it. We want those, you know, those drama filled moments and those off ice storylines.
Yeah, for sure. You guys, man, talking about your show there, you guys are around what, 487? I mean, you guys have been going for a while, man. When you guys started that, like how did it all come about? Like
it was really random. Biz and I were at training camp tryout. We were on PTOs with the Blues, and you know, neither one of us had anything going, but we had known each other because we played in Wilkes-Barre for a minute together. We were never actually on the Penguins together because I think he was up when I was hurt. So we had spent time in the minors, though, and become buddies. When I met him, we've told the story a bunch. I was like, this kid's a fucking idiot. I was like, he's the biggest OHL idiot I've ever met. And then became good friends. And then he ended up getting put on waivers. And Keith Yandel's one of my closest friends. And he, yeah, you know, Phoenix or Arizona picked him up. He's like, what's this guy's deal? I go, you're going to hate his guts when you meet him, but 2 weeks later, you'll love him. So it's like, and he goes, buddy, you're dead right. This kid sucks. But then they're close as well now. And Biz is admittedly or admits he was a complete moron back then, you know, just that loud guy. But so was I, in a sense, in the locker room. So it was just a friendship that really became, you know, more and more and closer as we went along. So then we kind of reconnected at the Blues camp, and we didn't know what was going to happen, right? You go to a PTO.
Yeah.
Odds are you're not getting signed. You're kind of hoping maybe we get an AHL deal. And we were just hanging out every day. We were like the court jesters. We were just the clowns for all the Blues guys. And we both had a couple friends there, but we got to know everyone, and they kept us around till the very end. But throughout that training camp, you know, practice ends, you got nothing to do. We just hang in each other's room, go have lunch. And we were talking about doing something after, and even talking to Yance too. It was like some sort of show, and I mean, we didn't even know about podcasts then. They weren't really a thing. That's but some true. Sort of show where we'd go to a rink with our gear, get dressed, and then never go on the ice, and then just shoot the shit, take it off, and have a shower with the boys. So it was just one of those, like, what are we going to do? We got to do something.
Yeah.
And then I went off that year. Where'd I go? I signed with Florida, and Biz signed, I don't even remember. I think that's the year he ended up winning the Calder Cup.
Right.
Manchester. Yeah.
So we ended up, it worked out well. Like, I got a one way that year. Now, granted, I lasted about a month in Florida before they sent me to the minors, but still, I had a one way for a million. I was like, all right. And that's when I actually started playing a ton of golf, because I went to San Antonio and I was like, all right, I'm over this. Right. And the coach, Tom Rowe, I don't know if you ever had him coach. He was a nut. He was a great guy, but then he'd be a lunatic. I think he's like bipolar. So yeah, I was getting this. Healthy scratched. And even when I was playing, I wouldn't pregame nap. I'd just go play golf the next year to Russia. And then got back from there, went over to Sweden. And after two games, I was like, I can't even skate. I'm horrible. This is it. It's done. I retired after the first period of my second game in Sweden, and then sat on the bench, enjoyed it the last two periods, called my dad after. And I think for every guy who played in the NHL, most of the time your dad and your mom have a huge deal. And I just called them right after the game, and I was pretty emotional. Like, yeah, dad, that's it. And it was a nice call to make. It was kind of hard to make and weird making it. But then I was more excited because I found this passion and love for golf, where I think a lot of times guys retire, and we've talked a lot. It's like it's hard. What are you going to do? Now, luckily, I had made good money. So I was more like, it was like September, it was probably like September 10th-ish when I retired. And I was like, I'm just going to go play golf all fall. I'm going to play 36 a day. This is great. And so I went home and I was like in a great mood. And then once winter hit, I was like, all right, I kind of got to find something to do.
Yeah.
And I talking to my girlfriend at the time, my wife, she's like, well, what about like a podcast or something? And I was like, oh, me and Biz had talked about doing a show. And so I sent out a tweet. We've put it up like yearly every on the anniversary about wanting to start a podcast. And then I tagged Army, Colby Armstrong, and I tagged Biz. What do you guys think? And Biz responded, I'm still playing. I can't do it yet. And then Army, I don't know what he said. I think he was working at Sports then already or something. But then the Rear Admiral, the lunatic, he's like, I'll do it. I didn't even really know him. We'd met two times. And thank God, I actually told him, I'm like, dude, if we'd gone for lunch, like I would have just been like, I ain't working with this guy. He's out of his mind. He's pitching in everywhere. But he's a hockey fan. He's just like a normal dude hockey fan. He never played. I like that aspect of you got a guy who played and you got a guy who didn't. So you get different opinions and you got stories from each guy that the other guy may not know anything about. So we started randomly, just me and him. He had like a mixer. I don't even know. And then the second episode, we didn't even have like a microphone. Like, we shared a microphone on his couch. It was just, and there was never a thought of it being like, I never for one second thought I would make $1 from it. It was just like something to do.
Right.
And, and then funny enough, Grinnelli, our producer, we had a, an episode where RA pressed record, and then we did like a 45. It was usually about 45 minutes, then maybe an hour. And then he looked down at the end. He's like, dude, it stopped recording like 4 minutes in.
Has that ever happened?
did it happen to you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Worse, because you can't even think about doing it again. It's like not authentic. And I was like, oh, my God. And no shit. He goes, buddy, I got an email yesterday from some kid that was like, hey, if you ever need help with the, because Grinnelli said he sent the email because he would listen and the audio was trash. So he's like, why don't we have this kid in? Boom, Grinnelli's there the next week. So it was all very organic. Like there's expectations, no planning. Guys, you know, Grinnelli gets a job out of nowhere. RA and I connect out of nowhere. So it's like anytime you put all this effort and try to plan something, I feel like the more successful things, you're just doing it for fun and you're just not even expecting anything. And then obviously Biz showed up. And that was kind of the end. Because I'm telling you right now, RA and I and Grinnelli be on his couch if we were still even doing it, which I doubt it. But Biz was the business mind. He had the kind of the vision to see what he thought it could become. He put a lot of work and effort and still does into all the behind the scenes things. Where I was open with him, I was like, buddy, I'm backing you. You're my guy. Go do whatever you need to do. You got my support. Tell me where to be where, when to be where, and most of the time I'll make it happen, but I'm not doing shit behind the scenes. And so because he's the way he is, very kind of driven, and obviously he wanted to make some dough. He wanted to try to monetize it. He hadn't made as much as I had. Suck on that, Biz. And it was just a perfect partnership that we still couldn't have imagined kind of grew into this.
Well, it's unbelievable. And obviously so successful. It's a treat every week. And it's nice. It's nice. Like, obviously we got to know each other, way back in 2010. Fucking doesn't seem like it was that long ago, but it was.
I know.
And it's better when you actually know the people, you know what I mean? Like, it just makes it obviously just great laughs, but great content too. And hockey, you know, insight from two guys that played with us. You got from this guy.
Around forever.
I obviously was fortunate enough to do it for fucking 26 years and, it was great, but, we enjoy the shit out of your show and I'm working with a team in the Knoll here. And Jesus, I'm like every other day it's like, oh, did you see Biz and Witt and this? And I'm like, hey, fuck boys. There's a Nasty Knuckles podcast going on. Yeah. If you want to watch that, I get Riley to laugh sometimes, you know, No, but they love you guys. It's great. And they were, I told them this weekend that you were jumping on and they were going, no way. And then we have this one kid, he's leading us in points. His name's Charles Pinches. And then, he's a stud. He is like, tell Witter I want to do the sandbagger. He's like, he's a scratch. He is a scratch golfer. This kid's he's got the middies. But anyway,
that's all we hear. We're like, everyone comes out. I want a sandbagger. I'm like, all right, bud, no question. Like when I'm good at golf, I'm good, but I can also be bad. Biz is horrific, but he's kind of clutch. So I'm like, hey, bud, you could be a scratch golfer. All these people, I'm a plus one. That's great. How are you when the cameras turn on?
Yeah.
Everything changes a little bit.
Different type of pressure.
And granted, like, we get dummied every time we play, like, older vets. Like, Roenick and Hull, Roenick and Timu smashed us. Jovo and Jose Theodore, they dummied us. It's like, we can get the young guys and kind of get in their head, but those old guys, it's like, they're in our head.
Yeah,
so it's funny
yeah.
how it works out age-wise. But it's a lot of fun, like doing something like that, like doing other content pieces. It's been a blast.
They're not as easily distracted as you guys or the younger generation are, right?
Yes.
It's a little bit easier.
And they're bullies. See, the old school way. They just bullied us in the room, and they're bullying us on the golf course.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, hey, didn't get bullied, but I did.
No, I was lucky enough. I had a pretty solid team. A lot of surrounding guys to help beef up the toughness. we didn't have a shortage of tough guys on our team, or Phantoms and Flyers there, at least the early part of those years. Wait, you mentioned something interesting when you're talking about the beginning of Spittin' Chiclets, and you know how you talked about, like, you were doing it because you loved it, and you're doing it because it was like it felt right. It wasn't about the money. And I had recently heard Rick Rubin, who's a pretty famous music exec for Beastie Boys and whoever else, talk about this exact thing. When you talk about creating art, essentially what you've created is, you know, some version of art. It's just is doing it because it's like for you and because it feels right, and it just kind of fills that void or whatever it is, not because of you're looking at your expectation of the outcome and how this thing's going to play out. I thought that was interesting that you said that, because I would just listen and talk about that, and it makes a shitload of sense, right? If you're doing something because you love it and you want to do it and you want to put your heart into it and put yourself out there, well, naturally you build something that's, well, uniquely yours, and obviously it's grown into something super
huge.
It's surreal, really.
Thanks. It's so true. It's like, I just wanted to stay around the game, and mm-hmm. I know I didn't want to coach. I mean, coaching's hard, dude. Like, NHL coaching's hard, let alone if you're going to try to start down, and a lot of guys got to start in the coast, right? Like, you're riding the buses, all this video. I mean, getting to the NHL, you're doing video nonstop. You're at the rink sun up to sun down, but at least you're flying private. But still, it's like, it's a grind. I didn't want to do that. I guess the other ways to stay in would be like being an agent. I know I don't have that. I would at least need a degree from college, I think, which I don't have quite yet. Although I promised my parents I'd do that. I gotta go back.
You gotta go on that.
And then what else would there be? Like, I was just like, media wise, I guess that'd be something cool. And I think that's only really the only path I could have to be involved. So I was lucky. I did a year of going up to Toronto on Monday nights, and I do Sportsnet. I was lucky enough to get that. So kind of getting my foot in the door and being on TV. And then NHL Network called. And I think for like a year, maybe two, I'd probably do like 40 to 50 dates, you know, drive up to or down to Secaucus. And it was in New Jersey. And I'd do like three nights, head home, and then 2 weeks later go back. But it was cool to be around the game. The people there were great. But I was like, oh, man, I don't love, like, you're staying in like kind of a crappy hotel. And, you know, you're away like 3-4 nights, and it's just like, I liked it, but I didn't love it. And at that time the pod was starting, and I was just like, this is fun, this is exactly what I want to do. I'm just talking about the game. I don't really have to travel, although now we're traveling all the time, but that's a good thing. But I was like, I'm in the game. I don't know if anyone's listening, and I'm getting to kind of at least still be a part of it. What's funny is, though, at the time that it began, I still knew a lot of guys in the NHL, and every year I know less and less and less.
Yeah.
So one part of it's great in that as guys get out of the league, I don't really like, I didn't ever want to, like, it's hard to like dog players or teams when you played. You're like, oh, I'm kind of that guy right now calling guys out, because like, yeah, you have to do it when you're really talking about the game. If a guy's playing like shit, you got to talk about it. But I didn't love it. Whereas every guy that I know gets out of the league, I'm like, all right, I don't really give a shit anymore. I don't even know these kids. I'm still going to be fair, right? And like, and give my honest opinion. And I'm not just going to sit there and shrivel someone. But in the end, like, buddy, if you're making 8 sheets and you're playing horrible, you're not an authentic show if you're not at least bringing up the fact this guy's not carrying his weight. So in the beginning of doing it, it was just like you said, it was just something I wanted to do. And I don't know, like, it's kind of like growing up, like making the NHL, like looking back, all I did, I don't know, maybe from like 10 to 11, I would just shoot pucks. I'd get home from school, I'd go outside, I'd rollerblade. Then at night I'd shoot pucks, and I was doing it nonstop every day. And looking back, I was working and I was practicing, but it was never practice in your mind.
Right.
It was like, it was never at all what you look at as like, oh, I got to go do that. I was like, oh, I can't wait to go do that. And then you get older and you realize like, holy shit, all I was doing was practicing, but I never thought of it like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably what a lot of successful people will say in terms of their career is like, they were doing a lot of the hard work that it takes, but they enjoyed every second.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's it. Yeah, that's the key, right? You're living it. Yeah, you're owning it, and without exactly what you said, without thinking or making it seem like it's actual work, where you're
it's not a pain in the ass to you.
Exactly. Right.
It's crazy. It's just how it kind of works out. I would think everyone would tell you that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Witter, I wanna ask you about when you were you know, your draft and everything, and then there's the lockout year, and you play a full year, obviously, in the American League, which was probably the best league in the world that year with everyone that was in it, obviously. You played for French Mike. French Mike, that's what all the guys called him when he was here. My last year with the team, he was here with Vigneault. But I was going to just ask you a little bit about the – even though it was the American League, there was a pretty good rivalry there with the Penguins and the Phantoms. And you guys had some toughness. We had some toughness. I think they had Skroy. Elaine Nazardine was –
David Cochy.
And Bushy was –
we had a kid. Bushy was there, actually. Yep. He was a part of Philly. Remember Guillaume Lefebvre?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Dude, I had a soft-spoken French kid, like talk like this, played the guitar, and then he was a lefty who would chuck him. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, I think Gratz put him to sleep one night, did he not? Yeah, was that in the playoffs, sir?
I think that might have been a little, like you and Gratz might have been a little above his weight, but right. There'd be some guys that were like, middleweights where you're like, holy shit.
And he'd throw some bombs.
I remember. Yeah, I remember when he was a rookie and he came in, like you said, and he, just so quiet. And I remember the first time he got in a fight, we were like, whoa, didn't see that coming, man. Like you said, the left, holy shit, Guy. But yeah, man, I remember that's when I kind of, I think we were up in the series and then they were interviewing you. And I remember seeing an interview. And you were like, we're like the Red Sox, we're coming back. And I was like, I like this guy. I like the fucking way he's thinking, but obviously
that was the year the Sox won it too.
That's right.
I remember we were in Norfolk game 7 against the Yankees and we got off the ice. It might've been like an earlier game. And we had this guy, Jimmy Morlock, who was like the media guy for Wilkes-Barre, and he was a diehard Yankees fan. He's like, the Red Sox are up 4-0 already. I was like, holy shit. So that was that season. But you bring up that league. Best thing that ever could have happened to me in my career was the lockout that year. Because I had been there when my college season ended the year prior. I turned pro and joined Wilkes-Barre. And we actually went to the Calder Cup Finals. We got swept by Milwaukee. But it was sick for me. Like I was playing and, we went a long way. I was like, oh my God, getting an experience of like playoff hockey. And it wasn't at all like the next season when all these guys came down. But that next year, at least I knew the pro game a little bit. And I was familiar with a lot of the teammates. So that helped me. And the biggest thing was there was no worry of getting called up. Like, I don't know how it would have gone if I was playing real well 20 games in and guys were getting called up and then all you're thinking about is, I don't want to be here. I should be up there. But that whole season, it was like, no, this is it. This is the NHL for everyone. And every team was stacked. I would say on average, the next year in the NHL, every team in the AHL probably had like 4 to 6 guys on the NHL team.
Flyers had a lot. I remember Flyers whole team was decimated.
And Binghamton had like the best team of all time with like Spezza. And Bolchenkov was down there. Who was that centerman that was awesome? Was he French? I can't think of his name right now. Well, Chris Kelly was there.
Kelly was there.
They had a ton of guys. Vermette. Right. Anton Vermette was there. Right, yeah. And we beat them in the first round. We were down 2-0. Chris Neal was running around. He knocked out like 4 guys in the series. But we came back and we won 4 straight. And it was sick. It was like the best feeling. We'd had a long season, and I'd had a good rookie year. Like French Mike, I'll tell you, I used to be like, I can't stand this guy. And I get older, and I'm 9 years retired, and this September coming up, I'm like, fuck, he was a pretty good coach though. Like, he could be a prick, but like he knew how to get guys to like be a pro. He taught guys how to be a pro, and it was through kind of like torture at times. Torture's not the right word, but it was exhausting, and he never let you get comfortable. But looking back, it's like he did a hell of a job. And even when he got to Pittsburgh, like we were horrible when he came in. Sid and me and Sid were rookies together. He came in when Ed Olczyk got fired, and then we played like better hockey the second half, and then that next year we made the playoffs. Like I don't know if he ever would have got him over the top. We got to the Cup Finals that second year, and then the next year he got gassed and Bylsma came in and they won. I wasn't there either, but he was a way better coach than I think at times then I gave him credit for. But yeah, that season, man, we ran into the Phantoms and you fucking got Carter and Richards. And it was, I was like, this is impossible.
Yeah, right. How did this happen?
Remember game six? Game six in Philly. We were up like 4-2 going into the third. You guys won.
Yeah. You scored, didn't you? Didn't you score?
No,
you
had a couple. I think we had a big hits there. Grad scored. Yeah,
your line. Scored. Johnny was double shifting his line because they, was the Eagles on your line?
Yeah, we just get on the forecheck.
They were just running, banging, and
oh, you guys were animals. But I remember I was like, "What just happened? I thought we were going game seven."
What just happened?
And it was funny because after that game, I remember I don't know if it was Nazardine or Rob Scuderi, like someone's like, "They're winning it." Like they're fucking that team's loaded and getting those two kids. Like,
yeah,
they came out of junior, buddy, and they were like 10-year NHL vets in the AHL playoffs. I was, yeah, I remember Richards. I was like, this kid is like a fucking dog, like in your face. He was what, 19, maybe 20?
Yeah, yeah.
It was an amazing experience though that whole season. And I, Colby Armstrong and Murrells, they have a podcast within our umbrella called Game Notes now.
Yeah,
and like we often talk on the road, we'll have dinner. It's like that. That might have been my most fun year playing hockey. It was really? Just a blast. Like you play Saturday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Sunday night, the boys went out, and it was just like a close group of guys that got to experience that.
That was probably my favorite year too. Yeah, honestly,
really? Talk about that.
Yeah,
a lot.
It was just like I mean, that was my first full year in the American League, and well, obviously we went on to win the Calder Cup, but the team itself, like John Stevens, like just the chemistry. I don't think I've been on a better team overall. Like. Just the way
who was that veteran D man who was nasty?
John Slaney.
Yeah,
John
that guy Slaney, was smooth. Yeah. He was, you had vets, you had young guys.
Yeah,
you had everything you needed.
Goaltending. We had,
Nitti was, Antero Nittamäki was in the finals. We went into, we played Chicago and remember that first period? They just seemed not that we were slow. Christ, we had Patrick Sharp too. I mean, we were loaded. And I remember after that first, we had this player. I don't know if you remember him, Witter. His name was Ben Stafford. He was like third line.
College guy.
Yeah, fourth line center. But, man, could he wheel? He was in the Mighty Ducks. We called him Ducky when he was a kid. He was one of the extra skaters. But anyway, I remember after the first period, they had like four two-on-ones, a couple three-on-ones. And we're like, holy fuck. And I remember I was doing a pair of skates and Staff came out and he goes, oh, boy. I said, fuck, thank God for Nitti. Yeah. I mean, he made about 25 saves. And then
what game did that series go till?
We swept them, but it was
shit.
2-1 in OT and then 1-0.
Yeah, we squeezed.
And then we got a hold of them pretty good at home.
Yeah.
That's like when last year, Florida, Carolina, when Florida swept and Brendan Moore goes, it wasn't a sweep.
Right,
it was all like one goal games, and everyone's like, "Ah, it was 4-0."
It was a sweep. Witter, real quick, who the guy that did the radio? And I can't believe I can't remember his name.
Tom Grace.
Yes. Tom Grace, bro, this guy, what a fucking legend in Scranton. I remember going to the bars, and he'd come fucking in there like Ric Flair, man.
No this way.
Fuck, oh yeah, dude.
Just hot dogging. Oh,
he was like walking. He was like how. Kingpin walked in years later and took the dude's pizza, and the guy's like, give me my fucking pizza. Remember how he like thought he was the man? But Gracie was a great guy. He was the voice of the Penguins, and he was like a homer, but I feel like AHL, like you're always going to be a homer, right? But describing a fight, I left and I right and I left. And he had his three-piece suits on, and he also did like the travel. He'd be booking the hotels and giving you the per diem. Oh, he was a character, man.
So the reason I bring that up is because I used to love, I would always turn around and look back and he's calling the game, but he's on the radio and his arm fucking going and I would laugh and I always talk to him. Johnny Stevens refused to speak with him. So every time we were in Scranton, Tom would come down and he'd be like, Nasty, how's it going? I'm like, hey, bud, you know, shoot the shit for a second. He goes, could you see if John's got a minute for me? And I'll be like, yeah. And I knew I'd walk in and I'm like, Tom Grace. He goes, nope. I'm like, all right. But I wanted to say the reason I asked you about it mainly was because, like you said, he was a homer, but it was funny. I kind of enjoyed like listening to the game tapes, like our video guy, Adam Patterson, he's still with the Flyers. He would show them to me. But the one night we had a 5-on-5 and poor Max Talbot ended up with Ben Eager.
Oh, I remember that.
And man, all these fights are going on and he's going nuts. And then Eags grabs a hold of Maxi. I mean, what's Max going to do? Like, he's up, he's outweighed by fucking 40 pounds almost. And Tom Grace goes, "This isn't right. Ben Eager is absolutely feeding Max Talbot." It was the only time I ever heard him like say the truth. You know what I mean? But he, you know, he went to Florida for a year. He worked with the Panthers for a year.
And, yeah, and it was the year I was with the Panthers.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, and he's wow. like, "What's up?" I was like, "Holy shit," because I hadn't been there, right? Like, I was at St. Louis camp and got there 2 days before the first game. I was like, "I didn't even know you were here." So that season, well, I got sent down, but at least at the beginning, I was like, "This is a little reunion."
Yeah,
none of us are Penguins anymore, but I think he went to BC too. He was always talking about BC, so fuck him.
Yeah. So you end up, when you get called up, you were just talking about you and Sid were rookies. Like, obviously, you've over your career, you played with a ton of like unbelievable, great players. But was Lemieux just the coolest thing ever? Like,
yeah,
like playing with that man, like God.
Yeah, it was intimidating as hell. Biz tells a hilarious story that he like in his camp, like he just, you know, he wheeled the net. It was one of the most simple drills in the world. Like, wheel the net, center goes low and slow, just like it's like a 10-foot pass. And Biz is just like, "Oh my God," and missed him by like 8 feet. Mario just kind of looked at him. And I even remember my first pass, like when it was your turn to pass to him, it could be the easiest pass you've ever made, but you're just like, "Oh, holy shit."
Yeah.
And, but I remember I didn't make the team out of camp. I had a great camp, but that they had 7D on one ways. And I was like, "Oh shit." But I was pumped because I had a real good attitude. Like, looking back, which is kind of surprising the way I was half the time, but I was like, "You know what? I'm just gonna go down." And I think Mike Yo was like, "Dude, you got to just dominate down here, and you'll get your chance." And I had like 4 assists the first night, but whatever. I played 9 games and got called up, and it was great because my first game in Jersey, we got a 5-on-3, and I got put on the 5-on-3 with Recchi, Crosby, Lemieux. And I might have been Ziggy Palfy. I was like, "Holy shit!"
Wow.
And I was obviously a little nervous to shoot the puck, but at least I was kind of like getting a chance to do like what I did with my game. And then went to Long Island maybe the next night or a couple of nights later, and I sent Mario in on a breakaway, and he missed shockingly, and he gave me a tap on the pad. Nice pass, kid. And I was like, "Holy shit." Like, he wasn't, he's not talking to me, right? Like, he's like, but I was just getting that. I was like, "Oh my God."
And then
I remember I was kind of a loud guy, especially in Wilkes-Barre, like before the game, you know, "Let's go, boys. Let's go." Throwing out different names. And I was up one of my first home games. I'm like, "All right, boys, let's go. Let's go wrecking ball." And I was like, everyone's like, "What the fuck?" Like, talking to Recchi, calling him wrecking ball at my fourth game. I remember Brooks Orpik's like, "Shut the fuck up, dude." It's just like, I didn't know my role. It's so different now, too. Like, even being around rooms, like, there's no more like rookies don't talk. Like, they're the loudest guys.
Yeah.
But then it just wasn't like that. And Pittsburgh that summer had signed. It was LeClaire. It was Palfy. It was Gonchar. Recchi was like, it was Lyle Odoline. Like, it was an old school veteran club where it was just kind of like, "All right, I got to learn my role." Biz that camp was like, "Hey Mario, what are you doing for lunch?" And everyone's like, "Buddy, shut your mouth." Biz is like, what, bro? What? So I learned quickly. But playing with Mario, it was great. It was brutal though, because he retired that year with the heart stuff. And now that was it. So I think that was around Christmas time. And I got called up, say, like end of October. So I probably played with him like 10, 12 games, about a month, but I'll never forget it.
Oh, yeah.
I got to play with Crosby and Lemieux. It's like,
I know. I know you say that. I'm not like downplaying Crosby because I think he's the best player in the game, but
it's just different. It's just different.
Mario. Mario Lemieux, man.
And like, I was 10 and like, "Oh my God, Mario Lemieux's playing the Bruins tonight." Like, and then I was out on the ice with them. It was wild.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I traveled to Pitt. It was my first year with the Flyers, because I don't think I went to Pittsburgh when I was in Florida that first year. But anyway, I was on the bench and I think in the first 5 minutes, he had like, like 3 shifts and he had 2 goals and a helper. And I just remember I'm sitting there in that fucking tiny bench in the igloo there. And I'm like looking, and he's sitting right on the other side of the glass. And I said to my dad, he's not even fucking sweating. He's got it's 3 points. Yeah. He looked like, it's what he looked, but obviously he was trying, but
yeah,
he was just so big and smoothie. Poor Hexy. Fuck, I think he pulled both his groins.
Right off the bone.
Oh, yeah. But he was amazing.
He plays like golf down in Florida, and my buddy saw him at this course once and was like, this kid was a hockey player, a huge hockey fan. He's like, even if I didn't play hockey, though, like, I would have been like, who is this guy? Like, he's like 6'5". He's enormous, and he just has this, like, presence. He walks so slow, and he's just, like, so cool. It's like, this guy, he's somebody. I don't know who it is if I don't follow hockey, but that dude is somebody.
For sure. I mean, you played a lot of good players. I was just looking at some of the teams, and like Timo Solani, Sekou Koivu, Scott Niedermeyer. Exactly, man.
Right. I got to play with some amazing for you know, I played a 9-10 years, but like I got to play with like 10 legends of the game. It was like it was pretty cool. Like even Malkin, man, when Malkin was on, remember those, like when he would pick it up in his heyday. Holy shit.
Wow. Well, the 2008-09 season, obviously you got traded to Anaheim.
Yeah.
Be honest with me. How pissed were you? Because they go on to win.
It was crushing. It was crushing. Oh. I mean, like, it's crazy because it's hard to describe. Like, I was really happy for those guys. Like, I was. Genuinely, I was like, oh, I know so many of those guys. They won the cup. But I was blatantly hoping they lost the finals. Like, I'm not going to sit here and lie, you know? Like,
well, you're a human. You're a human being.
I remember first I got traded. My mom was dealing with, like, a real health scare. She had to have surgery, like a brain surgery. And I was home visiting her. And I was sitting in the hospital room, and my phone rang. And it was Ray Sherrill. He's like, Ryan, I traded you. I was just like, I'd been a part of this crew. And what happened was, like, Letang was already coming on, and he was younger, and I had signed a 6-year deal, and then Goligoski was coming on, and it was totally one of those things where, like, looking back now, like, it made so much sense. Like, you could trade this kid. I also already had kind of had foot injuries and a surgery, and, like, you could trade this kid, like, who still probably has a good value, and bring in this winger. Like, Kunitz is, like, he was the perfect fit. It was unbelievable. Yeah, like, it was one of the best trades in Penguins history. But just finding out, and then Anaheim was in Boston randomly. I hadn't skated in 4 days, and Ray's like, you know, Bob Murray's gonna call you, all time asshole, one of the biggest pricks in the history of hockey. He's gonna call you. All right, yeah, thanks, Ray. Like, I really like Ray Sherrill. He was a classy guy, And Bob Murray called me, and he's like, yeah, you're going to play tonight. I was like, what? I was like, dude, I don't even have like any, I didn't have anything. Like, I had my gear, but I hadn't skated. We lost like 7-0 to the Bruins. We got waxed. I didn't know one guy on the Ducks. I had no clothes. So I showed up in jeans and like a normal shirt, and like everyone's just like looking at me. And then we actually went on the road for like 8 days, which actually was good, 'cause I got to know guys on the road. But it was still like, it's just anytime your first trade, you're just like, holy shit. Yeah. So then come to the playoffs. We actually had a great Anaheim team at the time. We were sitting right around the playoffs, but Wisniewski got traded there as well. I got traded there, a couple other deals. And then we went on a run, and we had Pronger and Niedermeyer and Boschman. So we would kind of play 5D, or Sheldon Brookbank was there. We had 6 solid D. Getzlaff that year was incredible. Perry, Solani, it was like, it was a good club, and we beat San Jose, won the President's Trophy, beat them, 8 beat the 1 seed, and then went to game 7 with Detroit. Danny Cleary scored with 2 minutes left, game 7. Like, that's, we had a chance. I was like, holy shit, if we win this, Pittsburgh's moving on.
Yeah.
We could meet them somehow. Mm-hmm. But we lost. Pittsburgh keeps winning, and then game 7, Wings, Penguins come, and all my buddies came over, like my dad and Mr. Yandel, Buddy Yandel was over, and as the Penguins won, as the clock, you know, struck 0, and Fleury made that save on Lidstrom at the end, I just went down to my bedroom in my apartment, and I was just like sobbing. Like, my dad came down. He probably knew why I ducked out. I was just like, oh my God. And Ryan Malone was the same. Ryan Malone wasn't traded midseason like me, but he had signed with Tampa that summer after we lost. And he was the same. I remember running into him or talking to him a couple of weeks later. He's like, that was the worst night of my life. It was like, I was like, let's just go out, boys. And I was really happy for the guys. I was
right.
I sent them all texts, but I was like, oh, it just feels like I should have been a part of that. So that was something that you'll never really forget.
Yeah, that's tough, man.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah,
and no Kunitz was so fucking good, too. He was like such a big part of the team.
That didn't help the situation.
Like, yeah. We wouldn't have won it. We wouldn't have won it if I was there and he wasn't. So I guess that's easier to look at it that way.
Oh, man. Well,
different perspective.
Always says, like, do you have a ring? I'm like, no. Like, I think baseball might do that if you were on the team that won it, even if you're traded, you get a ring. I'm like, no, but I wouldn't even want a ring. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Would you even want it? You weren't.
Not if you, yeah.
You weren't in the mix come playoff time.
No, you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, it doesn't quite have the same feeling.
No.
No. I'm like wearing it out and stuff.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I just.
So I want to fast forward 2010 Olympics, man. Your name to the Olympic team, obviously deservedly. It was one of the best years of my life. We've talked about this a lot because we had the outdoor game. We had the second ever outdoor game. In Boston, we played outdoor Boston, then get to go to the Olympics. We eventually lost in the finals that year, which sucked, but it was still a great run. But I just wanted to talk a little bit about the Olympics. And I've never gone from such a high in the gold medal game when Zach Parise scored to literally like wanting to cry on the bench when Sid scored. Like, I don't think my emotions have ever shot like that in my life.
No, never. And that was amazing. I was so lucky. I mean, it sucked for Paul Martin. Paul Martin got hurt. I think he broke his arm. And then I got added to the team. And then Komisarek got hurt. And I don't remember who they added with him. It might have been Gleason. I'm not exactly sure. But I was a late add. And I was like, holy shit, this is unreal. And that was, when I say the lockout was the funnest year I've ever had, that was the best 2 weeks of my life. Like, that was the fact it wasn't in some shit city. Like Korea or whatever, like it was Vancouver, one of the nicest cities in the world, in Canada. I mean, they had this incredible team. We beat them in the round robin. Kessler scored that one of the best empty net goals I've ever seen. And at that time, Kessler was like already giving it to Perry and Getzlaff. Yeah. Like they had that war going on. So we beat them. Like panic was going on in Canada.
Oh, yeah.
And then we get to the finals. And like you said, like, well, first off, throughout the week, it was great. We played like every third or fourth day. So we were ripping it up like after the game.
Oh, boys.
We were ripping it. It was It was a bender.
Exactly. And you know what? I've told people this winter, you know, we had our passes, you know, to get in and out of everywhere. That was like gold.
Oh, I bet.
You walked to a bar, you had to keep it hidden because they were like, someone people right told off. Us to jerk it. But you, even a pigeon like me, I'm the goddamn equipment guy. I'm walking in. Holding this
in the badge. Right here, big
cat. Here's a table.
Here's a table. Oh, what a two. I've said the same thing, Winter. It was insane. Like my liver by the end of that thing. I remember
still flushing it out.
Oh,
I'm sure.
Boys.
Legit.
I went out the one night and I think it was after a game, after one of the games the day before, and we still had to go to the rink and everything. So I was like, I gotta meet me and Mikey. Are going to meet at like 7 for breakfast. So I go out and I had a bunch of friends like that had a bunch of people in there that were working because they would bring girls in to work all the bars, right?
Yeah.
So friends that I had met
from everywhere.
Yeah, from everywhere. So like I'm with like literally with like 8 chicks, like just going bar to bar, whatever. So next thing I black out. Like I lost time.
Shocker.
No, I just I lose time. And next thing you know, I wake up. I'm awake, but I'm like kind of like snap out of it and I'm dancing and all I have is a fur vest on and my boxers.
No way.
And I'm like with sunglasses. No, I was in some apartment.
Oh, some apartment.
And I'm like looking around and I'm like, what the fuck
it's
is going
6:30.
On here? Yeah. So the sun's coming up I'm like, what time is
one
it?
One of those.
And somebody's like, oh, it's like, you know, 6:45. And I'm like, I got to go. I got to meet Mikey for breakfast. So I'm like, I get dressed. I get the a cab and I get back to the village. But the funny part was this gentleman that I would see every day. He was actually from Chicago. You know how they flew people in there also like to work.
Yeah.
The village, he sees me and I think he thought I was, he thought I was a player. And he was like, I was so disheveled with her. I mean, imagine that. I come cruising up and he goes, oh no, man, what are you doing? I was like, what? He goes, we got a game tomorrow. You're just getting home. I was like, I don't play. He goes, oh, okay, thank God, because he was pulling for U.S. You know, like, but, man, it was nuts. But I wanted to ask you if you remember. So game one, we played Switzerland, and they were our toughest games too.
Yeah.
If you remember, we played them twice. Yeah, they play so hard. But we're up 2-1 in the third, and I'll never forget this. And I'm not sure. I just remember thinking in my head, I've never seen anything like this. Torts is an assistant, John Torrell. Mm-hmm. Ron Wilson's our head coach, right? Well, he puts Phil the Thrill out there. There's under 2 to go, and we're up a goal. And Torts goes, what the fuck are you doing? They're literally screaming at each other. And I'm like, I thought he was kidding. And he's like, Wells, what are you doing? He goes, he's fine. He knows what he's – because he played for him in TL.
Oh, yeah, right, of course, yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I don't know. Like, so I'm like watching. He's got Callie. He's got Callahan pulling him off the bench. Going, put him out there, put him, get him out the eye. And I'm like, is this fucking, is anybody seeing this but me? And I was like, oh my fucking God. We ended up winning 3-1. I think we had an empty netter, if I'm not mistaken, Phil? When that game 3-1. Phil, I don't think it was Phil.
I loved Torts. He was awesome. Like, he was just a great, I remember one game, might have been the first, second game. He's like, I can't play you. I can't fucking put you back out there to me. I'm like, I understand. Like, you're not doing your job. I can't put you back out there. I'm like, all right, I'll chill here. It's a great seat. Great seat.
Great view.
Yeah, it was amazing. And like, yeah, when Zach tied it up, like, buddy, intermission, I'm like, we got this game. This whole country's silent right now.
It was, man.
Of course, it was, dude. Some people get that little tap from God when they're born. Like, Crosby was scoring that goal. Like, you look back, like, anyone who wasn't thinking that is crazy. Like,
yeah, right.
He knew he was scoring. The rink knew he was scoring. The country knew he was scoring.
Everyone knew it.
And he got it.
Yeah.
That was, man. Oh, buddy, that was the worst. That was, you know what, though? Like, a couple hours later, you know, it was like, that was a great group of guys. Got the silver medal, and we were this close. But it was still, like, after, I think guys were proud of the effort.
Oh yeah,
and I mean, Canada was they were huge favorites that tournament.
Oh,
look at
yeah.
the team.
Yeah.
So it was a great run. That would have been something else, though. I would have had I got a silver over there.
Yeah.
Everyone comes up. I'm like, yeah, it's the silver. If that was the gold, it'd be in like a locked shape right now.
Yeah. I just remember, I remember you guys on the bench in the third going, we're gonna get one, and like, they were so pot, like, and we were on them. I mean, and like, Luongo looked a little shaky. Like, he looked like he was fighting it a bit. I know he ended up winning. I'm not saying anything bad about it, but like, the guy, all you guys just kept, we're going to get one. Fuck if we didn't.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we're going to win. We're going to win the gold, man. Like, we're going to win this thing.
And it was like, it was 4-on-4.
Yep.
Four on four.
Yep. That's right.
That probably helped them.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. I remember too, when real quick, the first day when we were getting ready to play that first game, just walking out to the bench, there's actually a picture. Someone took a picture and sent it to me, and just looking at the Olympic rings, and I'm just like, wow. Like, I watched this on TV. Like, I, not that I was playing, but I was at least with the team, you know, a part of it. And I was just like, this is the coolest thing I've ever like seen. Yeah. Like, I had chills. Like, I was just I watched this when I'm a kid, man.
It was the biggest rush. Like, whole, yeah. I remember 98 when NHL players went, it was Japan, but it was just, and then 02. In Salt Lake, like, it was just like, holy shit, I'm playing in the Olympics. And then that's why, like, on Chicklets, I've been on. And granted, every fan's been like, we need best on best. So now, like, in 2026 in Italy, that's gonna be some of the best, most like must watch hockey we've ever had. I will say though, we need Russia.
We need Russia
in that tournament. And you could say what you want, it's not the same. Dude, remember that tournament? Because I think Canada, I don't remember how Russia lost. Remember Ovi put that hit on Yager when they
played?
Like, you need Russia, dude. Like,
yeah,
Kucherov, Vasilevsky, like, you need these guys. It's not the same without them. So who knows how it's going to work out. But I don't think it'll be the same if they're not there. They just add an extra storyline or seven storylines when they're in the tournament.
You know, it's funny. You just said Kucherov. It's way off topic, but I don't know if you saw. I know I sent you a picture the other night of Hazy and Shen, Braden Shen with my son. Did you see Hazy's goal that night? His breakaway.
Oh, I texted him. I go, that's the funniest goal I've ever seen.
Hey, you know
what? O-picked, and it just like went in somehow.
Yeah.
You know what he said? He comes to see me right after. He goes, "How'd you like the Kucherov?" That's my version. He
said, "That would have been an all-time blooper if it didn't go in."
I know, like, for sure.
O-pick on a breakaway.
Oh, that was classic.
That's my version of the.
I was pumped for him though. He got one in Boston last night too.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, he sure did. Oh man. So, one other thing about the Olympics, I introduced you to These Nuts then.
Holy shit.
Because we were playing that in play. He hated it. Oh, he tried to get me, though, every 10 minutes. But I wanted to say, you remember the night before the gold medal, they brought in that young man, Josh Sacco was his name. He did the miracle speech. So we were at a little Italian restaurant. Well, it wasn't that small, but we were at an Italian restaurant, and they got the whole restaurant quiet so this kid could do it. He was 5 years old, right? So I was sitting beside you, and I don't know if you remember, but we're sitting there, and the kid starts with the speech, and it's the you know, from the miracle, the movie. And he was actually really good. He's holding these papers. He's holding these little like sheets, but there's nothing on them. He's just like a coach holding them. Mm-hmm. So at one point, I think he says, "I'm sick of hearing about the Russians," and he hits Langenbrunner, like gives him a little push because he's our captain. Like he gives him, this kid's this big, he's like tiny, right? And he's, you know, you barely understand him, but he's saying it. And Winter, you lean over to me and you go, "What's the big fucking deal? He's reading it." I said, "He's fucking fine." And half the table starts laughing in the middle of it. Fuck you, baby. Like, oh, the guy made me laugh. Fuck, it's a big deal. He's fucking reading.
My son's six and he couldn't do that. Like, he couldn't even read. And this kid, I was chirping him. Even if he was reading it, it was impressive.
Yeah, it was. It was funny. Man. I always laugh about that. It was so funny, man.
That was the classic. Best. That was an amazing experience. Yeah, it like, was. Buddy. Coach, I'll get texts from this guy like 4 years later, like middle of the night, like, "Buddy, I'm with your bro, Ricky." And then I'm like, "This motherfucker." I'm like, no.
Hey, listen, I know. I just want to get him. I would get him. I got him at the Olympics. And everybody was like jumping in on it. But I did get Carvin last week. And how funny was it? He lost his fucking mind.
Nice try.
Yeah, hey, in all seriousness, I thought he was going to bite. I got Scott Hartnell finally because he could
He'd be tough to get.
I never got him until he was on the show. It was his third time he had joined us. It was last season with Toronto. Was they struggled and then they got hot.
Oh,
he was
right.
Like, I'm like, "Can you believe everyone in Toronto?" He's like, "Yeah, they're fucking going nuts, man." I said, "Yeah, I was talking to Savin last week and he was saying that." I mean, what did you think about what he said? And he's like, "Who's that?" And I went, he goes,
"No."
He goes, "Fuck you, third and last time on the show." He was so mad at me.
Oh, fuck. I remember bringing it home and getting my buddies. They're like, "What are you talking about?" Like, they were just disgusted.
It's the dumbest fucking thing ever. Is. But Randy Robitaille was the one that brought it to the Flyers, and he was only there for 3 months, but he had everyone doing it, and he was the master. I remember him saying, "Guys are going out." We were playing in Florida. We're going out for the like warmups, and he looks over at Jeff Sanderson. He goes, "Hey Sandy, did that Bob Busby coach you in junior?" He goes, "Who?" He goes, "These nuts, motherfucker!" You know, guys are just crying. They're like,
"Keeps you on your toes. Keeps you on your toes, big time." Yeah.
For sure.
Remember, Hartsy showed up in playoffs there on the plane one year with he had straightened his curly hair and he wore this green shirt
down to here, man.
Yeah, it was like down to his nipples, and he had this green shirt. Was it have a chipmunk on it or is it
D's
nuts?
D's nuts. Yeah, it said D's nuts on.
Rolls on the plane.
He had it made.
Oh yeah, I don't know where he found it. Yeah, it was classic.
Hey, that's the shit you missed though. Just the locker room. Torturing each other.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank.
LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're not kidding, man.
Yeah.
Are you going with Edmonton? Is that what you're doing?
I am. I can't not. It's going to be an absolute battle, though. I mean, I hope somehow they could play LA in the first round. That'd be 3 years in a row. I would be surprised if Vegas doesn't hop into that third seed in the Pacific. But playing them in the first round will be like, the worry is that even if they get by them, like, how much does that take out of you? Right. Trying to beat Vegas and their LA Dodgers payroll. So yeah. I don't know. Like,
I saw your rant the other day. That was great. You're on the couch.
I was just
there.
Like, and it's funny on the show yesterday. Like I addressed it because I'd said the week before, don't be mad at the team. It's the league. This is a rule. Like, they're actually not breaking a rule. But then they got hurdle like last minute, and I was just like, these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And it's like, but in the end, like it is. I said this. Anyone who's dogging them would be so happy if their team was doing that. It's like,
yeah. Right.
If your team's doing it, you're loving it. But it's just they figured out a way to just spend big, make big deals, not worry about the future and go for it every year. That's like every fan's dream.
Right.
Now, at
right.
some point, this is going to come back to bite them. Might be in 5 years, but at some point they're going to be in the dark days the way Pittsburgh's headed. But yeah. It's like, I don't know how you beat them right now, because they're not only like loaded up front, but their D are huge. That's what I noticed last year. I remember the playoffs ended. Eichel was saying like, we could play another round. Like, Florida had like guys with like one arm playing.
Yeah.
Like, they couldn't even move. And Vegas is so big and strong and deep. Like, he's like, dude, everyone's healthy. It was just like,
it's crazy.
What are you going to do against that?
Yeah.
But Biz said maybe the hockey gods, maybe the karma in the game of hockey will have them somehow miss the playoffs. I don't see that happening. But they're going to be a force. And, yeah, I'm on Edmonton, but the West is just so loaded. You beat Vegas, then you got Van you somehow win that, and you got Colorado or Dallas or Winnipeg. It's like
– yeah, no, that's the truth. I didn't think about that. I real quick, I just want to say Chris Knobloch, what a job he's done coming in there.
God.
I mean, holy – we had him. You know, he was an assistant here. Well, the Flyers for a couple of years. Yeah. And
then he went to Erie.
He was in, he was in Erie first and then he came here.
Okay.
Hexie hired him, and what a great guy. I mean, what a nice man he is. Great, great guy. Anyway, I was so happy for him. He got them going. Jesus, man. It's not just him, but you know what I mean. Like, he figured something out.
And I think, like, Paul Coffey came in.
Yep.
And he has D, like, really focusing on making tape-to-tape passes. Like, with those forwards, it's kind of like Toronto. They got all these D, but besides Morgan Riley, like, they're kind of guys who chip it out. But Edmonton's worked with the guys to, like, get these dudes to puck with speed in the neutral zone. And then that creates – I mean, since he's come, they've had the best record in the league since November. Yeah, so sure. it's just going to be about, like, can Leon and Connor just like throw on the superhero costume again in the playoffs? Like, Leon in the playoffs, every playoff he's unstoppable.
Right.
I mean, his goals per game in the playoffs out of control, and McDavid. So I think they definitely have a chance. It's just going to be an absolute battle to get there.
Yeah, for sure. And then were you surprised at all by the Flyers? Last thing
I was, man, I said, like, 2 weeks into the season, this will end. I said a month and a half into the season, this will end. And then at some point, you just got to tip your cap because, I was saying too, like, Torts is the perfect guy for that job, because if Torts was on a team with crazy high expectations, he would always be fighting with, like, you're not as good as you think. But if you get him on a team where he's like, Everyone's saying you guys suck. Everyone's saying this is going to be a lottery team. Like, he's just the perfect voice to be in a room where there's no expectations. And then he can also be demanding and expect a lot out of guys, but remind them, like, you're supposed to be shit. And I guess looking back, all the pundits like myself, like, we didn't know what we were talking about. I think Couturier coming back was the biggest thing, right? Yeah. Like, there's a reason he's captain now. He's just like a pro's pro. He plays both sides of the ice. And then they've gotten goaltending, but they've been through a lot and they're still right there. And I think it's better off when the Flyers are good. When the Flyers are in the playoffs and they're like a top team, that's the league wants that. They would never admit it, but it's a fact. It's a huge market. So I'm excited. And I mean, where they're going, it looks pretty crazy. The prospects they have, and it's a good time. It looks like they're going to be able to kind of do that quick rebuild. I know it's been a while, but they never went down to really, really horrible. I guess last year and the year before, it was tough days, but it wasn't like what looks like San Jose. It's going to be 7 years.
Yeah, right.
Wow. So
that's the
truth.
Good.
It's good. The Flyers being good and being a team in the playoffs is better for the league.
I agree.
Yeah, for sure.
What were your thoughts on Torts the other night? You think? Oh,
I'm not fucking leaving.
That was fucking hilarious. Like, the fact that it. His Stanley Cup team from Tampa was there,
so good. Yeah.
And like the camera panning over to like Andrew Tuck and Frederick Modine just dying laughing with wine, and then and then Biz mentioned too, like Torts has like the cast on his hand and he's pointing out the cast. It was a stiff penalty though.
It was.
Yeah.
I mean, two games and 50K. It's like,
I know.
I don't know. That's kind of hard to wrap your head around. But an all-time Torts moment from a guy who has like 15 of them too.
Yeah,
I was reading it's his 13th fine.
Really? Wow.
I didn't know that.
That's hilarious.
That's awesome. That's a lot of cake to be given up. But I mean, I've never seen that. I've never seen a coach pick, I'm not leaving. And then I was like, what if he just like wouldn't leave? I guess they wouldn't have dropped the puck.
They wouldn't have, no.
Every 30 seconds or minute that went on was just probably another game suspension.
Another game, so exactly. How dramatic do you want to make
it
this?
I love Wes McCauley, but like I was surprised he wouldn't go over and talk to him.
Right.
That's all he was yelling. He's like, I want to talk to him. And he's like, nope. Beat it. Go to the showers.
Run along.
Yeah, that was classic. I wonder if he actually thought that if he just stood there long enough that the refs just let him stay.
I think the wires are crossing so bad. He's like, I'm not leaving. And then it probably like slowed down. He's like, I have to leave.
I better go.
I better go now. You can kind of see it in his eyes. Like he was like, pumping the chest. You can see slowly but surely that was he recognizing that he had to leave. You're like, oh God.
Oh my God.
What is his injury?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I didn't even ask. I saw him in a sling.
Yeah, and then he's out of the sling, but he's got a cast. I'm like, what happened to this guy?
Fucking gonna jab West with that fucking thumb there.
Your thumb claw.
Oh, man. Hey, Witter, we can't thank you enough. We know you're busy, man. Taking the time.
No, anytime, boys. This was a blast. I appreciate it.
Great seeing you and talking to you. Not big time in me today. You're a big timer now. You know that.
I try not to be. I'm just the most unorganized person in the world, dude. I apologize for that.
No,
for anyone listening, I changed the time of this interview about 7 times. I'm an absolute moron. I was actually saying to my wife, like, can you hire like an organized coach? She's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I'm just never organized. So I appreciate you guys having me on, though. You guys do awesome stuff. Happy for both you guys. And thank you,
man.
Big thank you to Ryan Whitney. Winner.
Winner.
Oh, man.
Big timer. I mean that in a good way. Like we talked about that, you know, it's cool. They started kind of like we did, you know, just like, hey, like this would be cool. Keep us in hockey, talk about hockey. But obviously they have a lot of help with Barstool behind you. But, man, they do a great job. And he's a great guy.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed once I got to know him and at the Olympics and everything, like, He's a great guy. Yeah. Funny, witty guy.
Yeah, no right. He's intended. A great talker and good energy. And obviously him and Biz and the rest of the crew there is busting on each other. Makes for a hell of a podcast.
It is very good.
Great job in the hockey world and continued success.
Yep. Great guy. Appreciate his time.
Mm-hmm. It's that time, Nest.
Now?
Hell yeah.
Already? Is it time for the clear questions?
It is.
Clear questions, Debo. Wake it up. Brought to you by Clear Rum. Go to clearrum.com/shop. Put in the code NASTY2023. Get 35% off of your order. PA residents only. Baller, hit us up, baby.
What's up, boys? We got old Hammy.
Ham Daddy? Oh, hamstring. He's here.
Got a tight one right now.
Yeah, you do.
He's leading us off over on Instagram, and he would like to know, what's the best story of finding someone in the locker room getting an ejection?
I'm assuming you mean after they were ejected from the game, probably. I know one that really sticks out for me is God rest him, Ray Emery went after Holtby because the game had gotten out of hand, and it just happened to be Holtby down there. It didn't matter who it was going to be, but he happened to be there, and Ray went down and gave him a couple righties, couple lefties, maybe two.
I think he's still dealing with some PTSD from that.
he got tossed, and I remember running back and just check, you know, make. Well, obviously, I knew he was okay, but just to go in, and I walked in the room, and he was, you know, he's sweating. He's just taking his chest protector off, and I just look over at him, and he like looks up, sees me, just that grin, you know, razor's grin. He starts smiling. I'm like, "What'd you say to him, Reg?" Yeah. You know, the line out of Slapshot. "What'd you say to him, Reg?" And he said, "I told him we're going." And Braden Holtby said, "No, we're not." No. He goes, "Well, then protect yourself because I'm grabbing you."
Wow.
But that's one of the when it really sticks out to me about after a guy getting ejected.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually guys are, when they get ejected, they're fired up and like angry.
He was lying.
He's probably just laughing at himself.
Yeah.
Just wiping the ice up with
wires. Got crossed
there. That might have been one of the biggest.
It turned us around. Actually, we went on a streak after that. I know a lot of people didn't, you know, thought it was
ugly.
Yeah. Not right.
Unnecessary.
Holtby laughed about it after. He was fine, so, you know, but he was trying to get the boys going. Yeah. And I had said, it was funny, that year I was like, when are you going to have a tilly? You're in Philadelphia, right. You know, like, and you haven't had a tilt here yet. Well, he did.
He did, yeah.
He did.
It was impressive.
Yeah.
We got PhillyFan2001 over on Twitter. He's wondering, was there a defining moment that made you guys want to call Philadelphia home?
That's a great question.
Yeah, it really is.
I'm not sure if there's a defining moment. I feel like I was born to be in this space, this area, from when Hexy called me back in 2004, 2005 lockout season. Yeah. When I was in the Central Hockey League, you know. Probably that moment, honestly. I just felt like, you know, knowing what I knew of the Flyers and then joining the Phantoms and just knowing and learning more about the Broad Street Bullies and the culture of the Flyers. I mean, it's like, fuck, this seems to be the perfect place for me.
Right.
So I think, like, as, you know, that season went on, we went to Calder Cup and then I landed up signing, you know, an NHL deal with the Flyers. I think it was probably like, I don't want to go anywhere else.
Right.
Obviously, in sports, you sometimes don't have the luxury to choose, but right. I mean, I retired a Flyer and landed up coaching the Flyers minor league team. So naturally, I mean, this area is what I consider home. I mean,
right.
I've made a living here and built an identity here and, you know, want to do good as much as I can good in the community here. So
yeah. It's
definitely home. How about you, Nast?
And you do? Yeah. You know, I was fortunate enough when I was a kid, my dad worked for the Flyers for a long time. So I was obviously familiar with the area. I would come up 2-3 times a year, but, I guess when we came back, you know, we were down in Florida that first year with Bob Clark, the inaugural season of the Florida Panthers, sorry. And then we got here and it just seemed right. And then obviously worked here for the next 25 years. So I've been here longer than I was in North Carolina, you know, growing up. So it's just home, you know, and it's like you said, it's just I like it here.
Yeah.
I enjoy it here. I've had, you know, a couple chances I could have gone somewhere else and I'm glad I didn't.
Your pillar.
I don't know about that. But
no?
No, you know.
Your staple here in the area.
I'm a staple, all right. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, but great question.
Mm-hmm. We got one more. Rich, not in Canada, over on Twitter. Real talk, new coach or different lineup, who will be able to fix the power play?
Man. Yeah, you know, like, I feel bad for Rocky because, like, he's such a good dude, and I know that doesn't
right.
mean you keep someone because they're a good dude, but it really is struggling. And I don't know. I mean, you played the game. What do you think?
Well, listen, I mean, there's the guy that runs the power play meetings, but then they're all huddling up in the office together, right? I mean, Torts still has a say in the power play, right? He can only show so much video and, you know, address so many different parts of the game, but, like, I'm not sure if this is a Rocky Thompson issue.
Right, yeah, right? Exactly. I mean,
it's like, you've seen this with Joey Mullen. Like, how many years they had great, you know, power plays
every year, and then he got let go.
Yeah, yeah.
they were in the top 10 every year.
Yeah, and then I think, well, this last year they ended up struggling a little bit, but still effective power play. You know, to me, you look at the teams with the best power plays, like, they just have slightly more skill.
True.
You know?
Yeah.
And, yes, you can coach, you know, what you got. But, like, I think at some point it maxes out to what you're able to produce, right? I
mean, right.
Like, you don't show so much video and practice so much. If, you know, like, I don't know, you bring in Paul Coffey, you bring in whoever, you know, name that high-end D power play guy, coach, I'm not sure how much better it gets.
Again,
Torts is in these meetings.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, I was going to say, unfortunately, you that's a great point by you, but it usually is the coach that gets tossed.
Oh, yeah, for
you
sure. The coach always gets tossed,
But you're right. You know, you give them what you think they should do, and a lot of these guys are creative enough. They probably say, hey, what if we do that? You know, Claude was unbelievable. Oh, totally, yeah.
Running their own meetings.
I literally watched Claude design a play.
Yeah, sure.
Like, more than once on the bench, and it worked.
And that's what you need that interaction with the players.
But he's a special, special player.
Yeah.
Even if there's some haters of him, but, like, you can't deny him on the power. Like, he's, you know, whatever. But, yeah, that's a great question. I don't know if it's – well, you're not going to add any players now because the deadline's over. But it's not like we have terrible players that don't have any skill. We do, but something in order for them to get into these playoffs, like, we hopefully the number raises a little bit, because we got to get some goals, power play goals.
Yeah, you know, you think of, like, again, the high-end playoff or the high-end power play teams, like, you know, a guy like Michkov, when he lines up coming, like, you know, like, these high-end skill guys, like, these are the guys that change that.
They do.
Yeah. You know, because their execution's so high, you know, and they're so creative that they can find these seams. And not that these guys can't, but, like, you know what I'm talking about. Like, you know, look at Draisaitl.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? You go down the list of, like, these teams. Yeah. And it's like, you got guys, like, just, like, super elite guys that can.
Pasta.
Exactly.
You know, just like, it makes a difference. That's
it makes a difference, because you're talking about. Yeah, just squeezing in, like, one extra goal a game, right? It's just one extra feathered pass in there, you know, just because the skill level is so high. To me, that's what I see.
Like, I think, too, like, you know, we don't want to get too impatient with these younger guys, because they are some skilled players, Frost, Farabee, Brink, you know, like, I think it's going to come more they play as well, you know, and hopefully it gets better, you know, down the stretch here, because we're going to need it, because teams are trying to sneak in, the Islanders are chasing, so we gotta score more goals.
Yeah, that's it. Right?
That's
a good
how
strategy.
You win.
Yeah.
it's a bold strategy.
Oh,
Cotton.
It's bold. Yeah,
but great question.
Yeah, it is.
Thanks.
Yeah, and that's a wrap, Nast.
150.
Can you believe that?
No, I can't. It's crazy.
Steve-O says it's crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah, 150. Yeah, it's been a nice run.
It's been a nice run. Hopefully we keep going for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Appreciate everyone, all the support.
Absolutely. Be sure to continue to subscribe, like, comment, ask questions.
Please.
Appreciate the support. Until next week for 151, stay safe, knuckleheads.
See ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.